This question of Jesus, who do people say I am? What about you? Who do you say I am? It comes immediately after Luke's account of the feeding of the 5,000. But just before that, as we heard Jane read, Herod has been wondering the same thing. He'd heard the people were saying the same things that the disciples told Jesus they had heard. Perhaps Jesus was John the Baptist, or perhaps he was Elijah, or perhaps one of the other prophets from previous ages. For Herod, that first suggestion was especially surprising and probably quite worrying, since he had had John the Baptist's head cut off. Who was Jesus? And earlier still, as we'd heard, John the Baptist was asking the same question. Of course, when Jesus asked the question as to who people say he is, the interlude ends with Peter's forthright declaration, "You are God's Messiah." And shortly after, that's confirmed again when three of the disciples go with Jesus up the mountain and see what we call the Transfiguration. But today, I'd like to return to the question itself. Who do you say I am? Which of us does not wonder, at least sometimes, who other people think we are? Are there some people who, we worry, have got us completely wrong? Who think all sorts of bad things about us, perhaps because they've seen us in a certain set of circumstances when we didn't come over at our best? Maybe we too wonder who we are. Do we really know ourselves so well that we could sum ourselves up in a few sentences? Would we concentrate on the good things about us or the bad? And maybe who we are, who we really are, has been affected by how other people in the past have seen us, how people see us now. Our parents, they must have had an influence on how we are, of course. Did we try to become what our parents thought we ought to be? Or did we rebel against a strict upbringing and become a quite different person? Teachers, they probably had quite an effect on us. That patient, kind teacher who took the time to talk to us about decisions that faced us, about problems we were facing. And then that bullying, vindictive teacher who undermined us in front of the class. And those with us in class at school, perhaps. Did we have good friends we could trust and confide in and really feel comfortable with? Were we bullied by groups of classmates until we could see nothing but our own worthlessness? And so on through life, through work, through what we do socially, in our leisure. Of course, every single person has been affected in many, many different ways by the people they have been with. People they have just met for a short time. They can have an effect. Or people they have been with for a long time. Some of the people who've really affected us, even for a short time, we can still remember them, but others may be forgotten. Even though something remains, and when talking about how we can be affected, we dare not even think of those who've been abused, who we hear so much about these days. All these things have made us who we are. And yet, most of the time we feel totally responsible for who we are. If we feel we have done the wrong thing, if we feel we're the wrong sort of person, we feel ashamed, we feel guilty, we've fallen short. Sinned is the technical word within the church. That's another word for falling short. Of course, that's not to say we have no responsibility. No responsibility for who we are, how we behave, what we do. Of course we do. But I would suggest that to some extent it's a shared responsibility. We share that responsibility with all those people from our parents onwards who've influenced us for good or ill in the way they have seen us and the way that they have treated us. Who do you say I am? And of course, while we share the responsibility for who we've become, we also share the responsibility for all those for who all those people have become who, in some small or bigger way, we've influenced by the way we've seen them, the way we've looked at them, the way we've treated them, the way we've made them feel about themselves, for good or ill. It's frightening, isn't it? And here in the church, all we who call ourselves Christians have a great responsibility too for how we see. And flowing from that, how we behave towards all those people we meet here and outside. And which of us can say we've always got that right? The one who comes to me, I shall in no way turn away or cast aside, as it's sometimes translated. That's what Jesus says in John's Gospel in chapter 6. And we would hope that goes for us too. But how aware are we of how our thoughts about other people affect how they feel? About the church? About themselves? How we interpret the Bible, perhaps, when we do so, when we interpret it as a set of rules rather than a guideline for love. And of course, the church has been guilty in the extreme at times of acting in a way that is very far from those words of Jesus in John's Gospel. The one who comes to me, I shall in no way turn away. And the way we look at other people can be guided by our belief about Jesus and how he looked at other people. Could we have the first picture, please? This is part of a mosaic in a church in Sweden, or it's based on a mosaic, but it's been changed, which you'll see in a moment. Jesus accepted those who came to him. Lepers, prostitutes, adulterers, down and outs, beggars, people beyond the fringe. He saw the human being behind the picture that each one of them presented to the world. The ones he had less patience with were the ones who thought themselves far above, far better than those around them. And that's why I was captivated by this mosaic which we saw at a cathedral in a town in Sweden. The words that go with it, underneath it, say, "Who do you say I am?" And as we stare at that picture, trying to see who it is, we see other pictures. Close up, we see each one is a tiny face. In Jesus, we are all there, valuable, loved human beings, treasured by God. This picture shows us quite literally, shows us in the eyes of Jesus. And as well as seeing ourselves in the eyes of Jesus, We must also see Jesus in the eyes of those around us, those we come into contact with, and let them see him in us too. What do other people have to say about who we are? What does the church have to say about who we are? What does the Bible have to say? What do we ourselves say about who we are? Most important of all, what does God say about who we are? Psalm 139, as we heard, says how intimately God knows us. There is no doubt that how others see us and how we feel we are seen influences or even shapes who we really are. We all know the idea that if you smile at someone in the street, that smile will ripple on from them to the next person and so on. Or if we're driving and let someone out from a side road in front of us, that person will quite probably let someone else out a bit further on and so on. It's a similar sort of thing in a very small way. The person we smile at feels bigger. They feel more confident. They feel affirmed. If we don't smile at that person coming towards us, why don't we? Maybe out of fear they will think us weird, or they'll reject our smile. And as they do so, they'll reject us, we feel. We are there in the eyes of Jesus, in the eyes of God as he looks at us with love and understanding. We're there in Jesus' hands and feet too, in every part of his body. We are there to do the work of Jesus in this world, to show his love, the love of God to those around us, to everyone we meet. No, we may not do it in a big way, but we can all do it in some way. And as we do this, we know that there in Jesus' eyes, in the love he bears for each one of us and for all those others, the love of God is shown that he bears for all his children. Amen.